podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
All right, so the title for our message this Sunday morning before Thanksgiving is How to Use Your Mouth, okay? But the message is not about food. See, I could have quoted all the verses in the Bible about dietary excess and overeating and all that sort of thing. And I could have given this sermon the title, A Glutton-Free Thanksgiving. See what I did there? But that's not all that this is about. See, it's not about what goes into your mouth that I'm concerned about this morning. It's what is coming out of your mouth today. After all, Jesus said, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. So let's be concerned this morning about the way we use our mouths. How to use your mouth. And we're going to begin this morning by reading a passage of Scripture together. And I'm going to put it up on the screen, and it has three no-nos and a yes. Okay, three no-nos and a yes. And we're going to read it out loud together. So here it is, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Let's read it. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So three no-nos and a yes. Like there should be no pizza or burritos or egg rolls, which are out of place, but rather turkey, right? For Thanksgiving. That's three no-nos and a yes. But our verse says that the three things that we should be avoiding are obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking. Now, some of you might want those kind of foods for Thanksgiving, but those types of words should not be coming from our mouths, but rather words of thanksgiving. The Message version sounds like this. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. I like that. Thanksgiving is our dialect. The point is this. Since you have given your life to Jesus and you belong to Him and you have been called out of this world to be one of His, your language should be the language of gratitude and not the language of this world. The language of this world is characterized by things like obscenity and foolish talk and coarse joking. But for you, as a called out one, to participate in such talk is out of character. That's not how we talk. So what is Paul telling us to avoid? Look at the verse again. The first thing he says is we should avoid obscenity. Obscenity. You see, unbelievers who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and aren't walking with Him, they are in love with sin. They love to talk about sin. They love to be involved with sin. They enjoy talking about it. So obscenity is when we talk about things that are disgraceful and shameful, and we even approve of those things and laugh about them. The verse before this gives us a clue as to what obscenity is all about. Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. That word holy means set apart. We are set apart to God. So those sorts of things should be improper, and not just the practice of those things, but talking about those things too. So whenever you sit around and talk about sinful things and use dirty language, that's out of character for believers in Jesus Christ. That's the stuff the world enjoys talking about. But you would have never heard Jesus and His disciples as they were walking along the road and having conversation talking like that. And we as followers of Jesus Christ should not be involved in that kind of talk of obscenity. Doesn't matter if it's in the locker room or if it's in the living room. Christian mouths just don't talk like that. So nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk. Foolish talk. See, when followers of Jesus get together, there should be speech that edifies, that encourages, that deepens our faith together. We should be challenging one another to walk in a deeper and fuller way with Jesus. We should be sharing stories about our lives and connecting on a deeper level about our lives. And the world would rather talk about silly things, useless things, surface things, just meaningless talk. And don't you just crave meaningful conversation that shapes your thinking? Where you can be heard and where you can listen to others. But the world would rather pass the time just chattering about meaningless things that in the end don't really make a difference at all. The world likes to go on and on about politics and entertainment and gossip. Loves to talk about these things. Words that in the end really don't benefit anyone. Just talking around in circles and circles and circles. You can hear it on TV every night if you'd like. Speech that fills the room with carbon dioxide and not much else. But Christian conversation should rise above such things. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Coarse joking. You mean we can't joke around? You know, we can't have a sense of humor? We can't laugh? Well, no. This doesn't dismiss every form of humor. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that Christians aren't allowed to laugh. But what Paul's talking about is the kind of humor that cuts other people down. The type of humor that embarrasses and hurts other people. Joking at other people's expense. It's also talking about dirty humor, sexual innuendo. When we laugh about things that, if you were to really think about them, they're not funny at all. Not funny at all. They're tragic and detestable. Laughter is good medicine. But laughter that hurts others is just poison. It's poison. Humor is a good thing. I enjoy humor. It relieves anxiety. You know, it creates a comfortable environment. It opens doors to be able to share with others. It's a good thing. But the world likes to use it to destroy and to trivialize sin. And Christian mouths just aren't supposed to talk like that. So there are three no-nos and a yes. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place for Christians, but rather, here's the yes, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That should be our language. See, Paul doesn't leave us to wonder how we should be talking. He tells us how we should use our mouths. See, thanksgiving is more than just a holiday. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. The words that flow of our mouth should be spiced with gratitude. They should be salted with grace. Everything we say should reflect the truth of our hearts. We love the Lord and we want nothing more than for Him to be lifted up and praised in everything that we say and that we do. And we are grateful for our lives and for all that He has done for us. And we are looking forward to spending eternity together as His family. No, I'm not saying that we should always quote Scripture. I walk around quoting Scripture, although it would help if we did that a little more. And I'm not saying that we should speak 1611 King James English either. I'm not saying that we should speak in a Mayflower Pilgrim accent. It's not what we're talking about. But we should communicate with others in such a way that we know and they know that our God and our relationship with Him truly matters to us. That is the most important thing about us. And if that's the most important thing about us, it should come out of our mouths. Before I started as pastor of the church up in New Jersey, we're talking about ancient history now, we're talking about years and years ago, but before I started there, there was a man by the name of Joe Iwanski who was their interim pastor, and you're not surprised that Joe Iwanski would be the pastor of a church in New Jersey, but he was the interim pastor at the church there in New Jersey, and the people loved that he used to get it up in front of them, and I loved it too, and say to them, "Are y'all happy? Are y'all happy this morning and joyful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And they would say, "Yeah, yes we are." And then he would say, "You forgot to let your face know about it." Boy, I don't know, some Sundays I feel like repeating those words, right? Well, we would say it a little bit softer here in the South than they do it in the North, right? But I think the truth is about our mouths as well, right? Right? You forgot to let your mouth know about your love for the Lord. So that's what it's all about. Not speaking Christianese, not using words in a hypocritical way, either pretending that you're something you're not. That's not what we're talking about. But rather allowing words to blossom from the beauty of a heart that is in tune with God. That's what we're talking about. Pure, genuine, uplifting, godly conversation. Wholesome conversation. Christian mouths speak the language of thanksgiving. That is our passage of Scripture. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now get your outline ready. At the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to share from your heart. We're going to allow you to put these thoughts into practice, right? However, at this point, I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about your mouth. Right, let's call this the owner's manual for your mouth, because you were born with a mouth. God gave you this mouth, right? Unfortunately, He didn't give us an owner's manual for how to use it. Most of us don't know that there is an owner's manual for how to use it. It's found in the Word of God, verses that are scattered throughout the Bible. Put them together and you get an owner's manual for your mouth. So here's an overview of what the Bible has to say. First of all, your mouth is an incredible gift. So turn to the person next to you and say, your mouth is an incredible gift. Okay. That may be the first time some of you have ever heard that before. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve shared the privilege of walking in the garden in the cool of the day and talking with God. Sharing their hearts and hearing from Him. And then sin entered the world, and they learned how to lie and how to hide from each other and how to hurt each other with their words. And their communication with God and with each other was broken by sin. So you were created in the image of God with the gift of speech. He's the one who gave you this mouth and the capacity to express yourself. What an incredible gift to be able to take the thoughts of your mind and the feelings of your heart and to put them into words, to express them to other people. Not to hold them in, but to have the capacity to communicate with one another. What a great gift. And add to that the privilege that we have, because we live in this country, that we have a constitution that encourages the freedom of that speech. So your mouth is an incredible gift, but also your mouth is an influential force. Recognize the power that your mouth has. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 begins like this. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. That this incredible gift that God has given you has the power to produce life-giving fruit. That you can encourage other people. That you can heal their wounds with just your words. With your words, you can lead somebody to the truth of Jesus Christ, and it will change their life for all eternity. You can express love and praise and blessing. Your mouth is this influential force. But look at the rest of the proverb, okay? Because it's not over there. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Who here has been crushed by a perverse tongue? It's hard to forget that, isn't it? Your mouth is a powerful force for good, but it can also be a powerful force for evil. That this gift of communication that God has given to us is a great blessing for praising and for lifting up others. But it also has been corrupted by sin. And under the influence of sin, your mouth becomes a dangerous weapon capable of harming others deeply. So you can probably remember hurtful words that were spoken to you years ago. Even today, you remember those words. That it has formed a scar in your life that will always be there. Until we get to eternity and all that's forgiven and it's taken away for good, now we live with the scars of these hurtful words that people have spoken to us. And unfortunately, others are living with scars from the hurtful words that we have spoken like daggers into their life too. James wrote, "The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And so since your mouth is both an influential force for good and evil, it's also true then that your mouth is an immense responsibility. An immense responsibility, right? See, to drive a car, you need a license, right? To own a gun, you need to get a permit, right? But we are all given these mouths, and there is no license or permit that came with this dangerous thing. There it is on the front of our faces, ready to do its worst. So this is true of every powerful force. That is, there's an immense responsibility behind it, right? A rifle can be used to shoot a turkey and put food on the table, right? Or it can also be used to end a human life. It's an immense responsibility. The nuclear technology that has been developed of splitting atoms can be used to fuel our homes and to bring light and warmth to our lives. But the same technology can be used as a weapon capable of killing millions of lives at once. Your mouth, likewise, is an immense responsibility. It has the capacity for so much good, but also for so much evil. So Jesus has saved you and he's cleansed you, and your speech should be included in that process. It should extend to your mouth as well, the forgiveness of your sins and your sanctification and growth in him. You see, in addition, your mouth is an internal indicator. You can tell a lot about a person by listening to their mouth. The words that emerge from your mouth say something about what's inside of you. I can tell what's inside of you by what comes out of your mouth. Here's what Jesus said. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of." You want to know what your heart's full of? Take some time to listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Now, it's not from the Bible, but it's a true proverb nonetheless. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. It's a good proverb, right? It's better to remain silent and for people to think you're a fool than to open up that trap and remove all doubt. Thanksgiving is the only time I can remember when my mother worried about foodborne illnesses. Okay, that's the only time I can ever remember my mom talking about that kind of stuff, right? Anxious about things like salmonella and botulism. See, I wouldn't know what those words meant if it weren't for my mom talking about them at Thanksgiving. That's the greatest fear, right? That you're going to poison your whole family. So the Butterball people came up with a solution. It's a pop-up turkey timer, right? What a great piece of technology. The only problem is that it doesn't always work, right? It's supposed to pop up to let you know that the temperature of that turkey is right and it's safe. But sometimes it doesn't pop up. And then, you know, what I remember is like 3 hours later, my mom is worried about this turkey and all the other food is cold and this thing is dried out and the pop-up timer still hasn't popped and we're waiting. And finally we say, well, I guess maybe it's done. I don't know. Cut into it and see. So that's when the salmonella fears begin to surface, right? Somewhere between salmonella poisoning and turkey jerky is the sweet spot, right? So your words are like a pop-up timer on a turkey. What do your words say about what's inside of you? What do your words say about the condition and the temperature of your heart? Is it a Thanksgiving treat or a salmonella special? When it pops up, right, when it pops up, what does it tell people? That this person is a fool. Or this guy's a bully. He's just a bully. He pushes people around with his mouth. Or she's a liar. Or does it say, this person really cares? They're compassionate. They're gracious. They're godly. What does the pop-up timer of your mouth say about the condition of your heart? So that's the overview of what the Bible says about your mouth. I want us to turn also to the warnings then, because there are some warnings. First warning is open with care. Open with care. Now think about that. Should think twice, maybe three times, maybe four times before you open that thing. Because sometimes we should realize that our opinion is not needed, right? Sometimes we should realize that. Sometimes we should just walk away or turn off our cell phone or our computer. And if we choose not to speak or what we say, and you choose to open your mouth, be sure that it comes from the right place for the right reason. Be careful when you open that thing, because it's full of danger. In addition to open with care, the second warning would be caution, sharp objects, right? Your tongue can lacerate or it can heal. Choose healing, because that thing can really hurt somebody. If you're going to wield that weapon and you're going to swing it around, you better know what you're doing. The third warning is protect the source. Because if your mouth speaks from the overflow of your heart, maybe we should be concerned about what's in our heart. Rather than trying to deal with what comes out of our mouth, we should deal with our heart, and then what comes out of our mouth will hopefully be fresh and clean. The things that you feed on tend to become the things that you talk about. The things that you listen to get down into your heart, and then eventually they come out of your mouth. Garbage in, garbage out. But the opposite's true also. Gospel in, gospel out. And I know about this because I grew up in the public school in New Jersey. That's right. I am a product of the New Jersey public school system. So growing up in that atmosphere, I heard it all. And to my shame, many times I repeated it all. If you want your speech to be uplifting and pure, then fill your mind and your heart with things that are uplifting and pure. Music and entertainment and information. Surround yourself with the best that you can find. Surround yourself with people who feed your heart with good things. It will affect your mouth in very, very positive ways. Another warning, there is a filter recommended. Filter recommended. You need to put a filter between what's happening in your brain and what's coming out of your mouth. So we all know people, right? We won't confess to being them, but we all know people who say the first thing that comes to their mind with no filter. Right? Filter it, please. Think about what you're going to say before it comes out. We all need that filter. My father's now retired, but he was the plant superintendent at one of the country's largest wastewater treatment plants. And we used to joke about his job. I used to say, if I needed to get my dad a note, I could just flush it and it would show up right there at his work. Yeah. And he used to say that sludge is our bread and butter, right? So that's horrible too. And I don't know if that's coarse joking or not, so I'll move on. But sometimes my dad would give tours to school groups that would come through, because this was an amazing process to show them how the things that they flush down their toilet, all of that filth and all of that stench would come to them, and then they, through this amazing process, would remove all of that. And remove all of the bacteria, all of the filth, all of it, and then by the end of the tour, they would show that there was water that was coming out of a pipe into the river. What they called that was the effluent. Right, the part that came out. That was filtered, it was clean, it was the work had been done. So I always used to think that a very dramatic way for him to do his tour would be this. First, take them to the place where the water comes in, right? And let them smell that stuff. It's awful, right? Let them see it. Let them smell it. Let them experience how awful that is. And then take them through the process and bring them to the end and open up a spigot from the effluent and fill a glass with it. Hold it up for them and drink it. And show them just how pure it was. You know, although they claimed that that water was perfectly safe, I never saw anyone drink the effluent. Now, what about your effluent? See, by the time that words emerge from your mouth, it's probably too late. They should be beautiful, they should be pure, they should be life-giving. Your relationship with God and your faith should serve as a filter through which all of this stuff that we experience and see out in this world gets filtered through our faith and through our relationship with God. And by the time it reaches our mouth, it's pure, it's cleansed. It's wisdom and it's worship that comes from our mouth. Final warning is, for Thanksgiving especially, is check your gratitude gauge often. Check the gratitude gauge often. See if there is Thanksgiving and gratitude coming from your mouth. Chances are the process that's taking place within you is successful. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in your words or in your deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." In other words, if you can't say something in the name of the Lord, don't say it. And everything we say, everything we speak, should be evidence of a thankful heart that is in love with God. So I hope that your gratitude gauge is on full, and I hope that your thankful heart is so full and overflowing that you can't wait to just gush forth praise to God. Because this world is full of obscenity and foolish talk and coarse jesting. It's hard to get away from it. It's just spewing forth day after day after day. Let's not add to it. Let's filter it and counteract it. You are a child of God, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have every reason to be thankful. So speak out of the overflow of thanksgiving. Think about these warnings the next time you open that incredible gift of yours, that mouth. That you should open it with care, that you should beware that it can be sharp and it can hurt others, that you should protect the source from which these words come, that you should put a filter on it, and that you should check the level of gratitude often. Your mouth is a tool to be used by God to bring glory to Him and to help others in their difficult walk through this world. So let's practice. Let's practice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we praise You and thank You today for who You are. I thank You, Lord, that as we look at the words of Jesus that He spoke when He walked on the face of this earth, Lord, that He spoke such compassionate, loving, and yet challenging words, Lord, that came directly from You, that came from Your Spirit, and were delivered in such effective ways. Lord, I pray that Jesus would be the model for how we might use our tongues to glorify You. Thank You for the voice that You have given to us. Lord, I pray that this voice would be such that it would bring praise, that it would bring glory and honor and thanksgiving to You. Father, help us to think individually about the use of our mouths. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to feel regret for the sin that we have spread, for the evil that has come from us. Lord, for the hurt that we have dealt to others. We're sorry, Lord. We confess, Father, that sometimes our gums flap and what comes out is not pretty. We confess our sin before you. And Lord, we pray that you would heal us from the inside out. And Lord, that our love for you and our love for others might produce beautiful words that would heal, that would lift up, that would encourage, that would challenge. And Father, that our mouths might be a source of life for those around us. And Father, might speak words of praise that would bring a thrill to your heart. Help us, Lord, to be people of thanksgiving. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.